2, starting with verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their helper the Holy Spirit. Amen. After weeks, perhaps for some of you even months of slow preparation, Christmas has finally come. We all got our Christmas decorations and lights up. Many of us have traveled to go and see friends and family, to celebrate, to catch up, to exchange gifts, to exchange memories. There's been food and food and more food. Dirty dishes, trips to the grocery store and other stores. There's been the preparation of our hearts through the readings and songs and devotions in this Advent season. The Christmas carols and songs, especially that we sung on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And it's all perfect. At least, that's what we try to make it out to be. We try to make it perfect. We're surrounded by lights and decorations. We have happy faces on. We greet each other boldly and proudly and happily with Merry Christmas. We're singing happy and joyous songs to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We do all the things that the Grinch would hate, with all the stuff and the noise and the busyness. And now we are here, the other side of Christmas. For many of you, the hustle and bustle is just about over. You've done your family get-togethers. All the things that you had planned have come and gone. And now you can sit back, relax, and take a breath. I know there are some still that, for whatever reason, have to celebrate things later on, so there's stuff just beginning for you. So the time for taking a breath for you is just about over, and it's going to start getting busy. But whatever camp you fall under, I think we all fall under the same temptation. The temptation to act as if everything is perfect, and everything is great. The temptation to have our minds and hearts stuck on that Christmas Eve night singing Silent Night, Holy Night. And that's what I want to focus our hearts and minds on today. This idea of the other side of Christmas. The side of Christmas that's behind all the smoke and mirrors of the season, behind all the lights, behind all the smiling faces, behind all the tenderness and the generosity, the love and gifts, the food, and yes, even behind the birth of Jesus. In order to see this other side of Christmas, we need to pay special and close attention to what takes place after the birth narrative in Matthew's gospel. You see, after Jesus was born, God put a star in the sky. And we're told by Matthew that wise men saw this star, and they traveled from the eastern realms following this star until it led them to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, they met the king, Herod. And Herod was greatly troubled when they came to him and said, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Herod, after discussing with these wise men and finding out when exactly this star had appeared, he told them where they could find this child, that they would go to Bethlehem and find him there. And as he sent them on their way, he had one request to them, that they would return to him and tell him where exactly they found this child so that he himself might go and find him. So the wise men left. They found the child in Bethlehem as Herod had told them. And they go and rejoice and praise this child and worship him and present him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But we're also told the wise men did not return to Herod as he requested. In fact, they were warned not to do that in a dream. Before we continue, it might be helpful to know a little background of who this King Herod was exactly. Herod was often called Herod the Great because he was a really good architect and builder. He oversaw the reparation of the temple in Jerusalem. And in fact, he made it even more extravagant and large than it was during Solomon's reign when the temple was first constructed. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem now, you will still see the massive stone walls that he used to construct that temple. Herod was a great architect. And on top of the restoration of the temple in Jerusalem, he also oversaw the construction of great Greek-style amphitheaters and outdoor stadiums and fortresses all over his territory. And on top of all these great structures he had constructed, he also oversaw great prosperity in his land. But, and this is a big but, Herod was mad with his power. He constantly feared conspiracy and that someone was going to try and usurp his power and his throne. Also, the Jews did not respect Herod or take him to be their legitimate king. And that angered him greatly. His fear was so great that someone would try to take his throne that he ended up actually killing 3 of his sons, 2 of his wives, and his mother-in-law because he feared that they were conspiring against him. So we know Herod very much ruled with tyranny. He was very evil and wicked. And this is one of the reasons why the wise men were warned not to return to him. And now we get to our reading from today from Matthew's gospel, where Joseph is also warned in a dream not to return to Herod. An angel comes to him and says, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child, to destroy him. So Joseph did as he was warned. He took his family and they fled to Egypt. And they escaped Herod. And they remained there until he died. But while they were in Egypt, we're told Herod, fearing another conspiracy of this newborn king of the Jews, fearing that he might eventually grow up and take his throne away from him, came up with a plan to go and get rid of this king by just killing every single male child in the region. Every male child that's 2 years old or younger. So there could be no, absolutely no doubt that this king was indeed taken care of and killed. And this is the other side of Christmas. Just a few days after the joyous singing and proclaiming of the Savior Jesus' birth, we have a story of complete and total slaughter of innocent lives. We have a story not of joy, but of fear and of weeping and lamentation and sorrow and suffering. And in this story, you might be reminded of yourself and your own difficulties. It might not be your own innocent little baby boy who was slaughtered by a tyrannical king. But you still have difficulties that are hard. You still have suffering that you're living through. And maybe for this season you have pushed all that suffering down and you've ignored it. Maybe you've been wearing a smile every day, telling everyone everything's okay, while secretly behind that smile you are falling apart. You're a mess of emotions, and you yourself just want to burst. Maybe you're stressed, angry, afraid, whatever that emotion you're dealing with is. Or maybe it's many. And yet, during this Christmas time, we don't want to deal with all that mess. All we want is the joy to the world. All we want is the angels in the highest giving praise to God and singing. All we want is to watch the children sing and put on their Christmas programs. And that is our temptation. Our temptation to ignore the reality and buy into the farce of the season. The farce that all we can possibly enjoy is hope and happiness and joy in this Christmas season. And that's what the other side of Christmas is all about. To know that it's okay. It's okay to feel, to not feel complete joy and happiness this season. It's okay to feel your emotions. The other side of Christmas is a time to lament. It's a time for us all to cry out, weeping and lamenting aloud like the voices in Bethlehem did after the acts of Herod. It's a time for us all to bring our emotions, our suffering, our pains from the loss of loved ones we've endured, from maybe a change in holiday routines or celebrations, from family dissension and disagreements, from all sorts of messes that life throws at us and gives us. It's a time for those emotions to be laid out before God. It's a time for us to not stuff them down and ignore them and just pretend like there are no hard parts in life. But it's a time for us to cry out like the psalmist does. And these are the words he says. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We cry to the Lord from our depths, the depths of our situations, the depths of our emotions, the depths of our souls, and we hope and we wait in the Lord. That doesn't mean that every second of our hoping and waiting is going to be filled with joy and be pure bliss. It means that even in our pain and suffering, we remember that on this other side of Christmas, even in our weeping, we know that there will be joy to come. Because Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the one who dwelt among his people. But just because he came does not mean that the world automatically turned perfect. Jesus' coming did not immediately reverse all of sin's turmoils. No. We saw in this reading that innocent children were killed in an attempt to kill that very same Jesus. And we're confronted with a stark and eye-opening reality of the reminder of how evil and wicked this world truly is, how full of suffering and pain and misery it is. And yet Jesus came all the same. He came and dwelt among us. He didn't come and sit in a safe haven or a lockdown fortress until the time was just perfect. But he came in a cave where animals lived. He very well could have been one of those children that were killed that day. But Jesus' birth was not just to come and live for a few years. Jesus, the Word made flesh, came so that he could fulfill all of God's promises that he gave to his people Israel throughout all of history. Jesus came not to live as an earthly king and usurp Herod's throne, but instead to enter into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, only to be murdered by his own people. Jesus came and humbled himself and took on human flesh in order to die. He became sin who knew no sin, and he did so for you. He did so that the effects of sin would not be permanent, that this fallen world would not be the eternal state of things. The effects of sin are no longer permanent on account of what Jesus has done. But still, they're still here in this life, in this world, on full display for all of us. And that's why we still weep, we still experience pain, we still suffer, because we are a people waiting. With all of creation, we are waiting and hoping for change to come. As the Apostle Paul tells us from Romans, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." So we, along with all of creation, wait and groan on account of the pains that we're feeling and enduring. You do not have to endure your suffering and pain forever. And you do not endure your suffering and pain alone. Jesus, the Word made flesh, bears those burdens for you. He takes them on himself so that you may walk in newness of life. in him. And the great news is he is coming again to be Emmanuel fully, God with us face to face. So even in our groaning, our sighing, our mourning, our suffering, we rejoice and hope in the life that is before us. A life that's without sin or death, a life that's eternal in the new creation that's waiting for us, where we do receive adoption as sons and daughters and the redemption of our bodies, as Paul puts our hope in. This is the other side of Christmas. And if there is not joy for you now, there is joy to come. And that is what we hope in, even in our sorrow and suffering and pain. There is a day coming for each of you where I will turn your mourning into joy. I will comfort you and I will give you gladness for sorrow, declares the Lord your God. So we ask him, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Let's pray.